Chapter 3 is a ballot measure that the North Dakota legislature advanced to get rid of the State Board of Higher Education and put an appointed three-person administrative panel in charge of higher education. There was a lot to do about higher education, and some of the institutions that had nothing to do with it are paying the price of the big eye being upon them, as though higher ed isn't being run properly. You had the Ham Shivani episode come up where many people felt that the wrong administrator of the university system had been picked, the debate over the academic level you were at and if you should just be able to go anywhere, obviously upset certain members of higher education. Then you had, of course, the oversight of what was actually happening on campus in terms of dollars being spent. And, you know, the public really had reached a point in the legislative session where the question came up of whether or not the State Board of Higher Education was accountable to the public it served. And one of the people that I always look to for leadership on this is Ellen Chaffee. Yeah, she did a tremendous job on behalf of the state of North Dakota at Valley City State College. And then when her help was needed at Mayville State College, she took that under her wing too. And she raised the question of accreditation, not to mention other things, the pros and cons. And I have in front of me actually something that got my attention, her opinion when it comes to Measure 3 and the pros and the cons of it. And I asked her to come on today to speak to it. Ellen, good to have you back on News and Views.
Thanks, Joel. I appreciate the opportunity.
You really go through this. You point out the pros, the cons, you know, what the goals and everything else were, but things that I'm not sure really came to light as Measure 3 was advanced in the form of a measure on the ballot. Is this good or bad?
Well, it depends on your point of view, of course. There's room for differences of opinion, but there's a great deal of jeopardy involved here to not only the institutions, but the students and the public, that it's important to understand, and whether those issues will be resolved before the election in November is completely unknown. If we had to vote on it today as it stands without knowing more, I would strongly advocate a no vote. The risk is much too great the way it is. But
well, some of the things that jumped out at me, obviously turning this into such a legislative body to where they're based out of Bismarck and the legislature putting their hands on it, and everybody's, you know, if you're from some of these smaller, more rural areas, you don't hold as big of a stick in the legislature. And then the accountability going away from the people, which really is what the State Board of Higher Education is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a board made up of people in the community versus a board of administrators that work out of the Capitol for the governor. That got my attention. But when you brought up accreditation, because when I sent my girls, and both of them graduated from institutions in the state of North Dakota, the biggest hook to that was accreditation. And so I want you to speak to that, Ellen. Talk to people about the fear you have when it comes to accreditation.
Well, accreditation, of course, is sort of like the Better Business Bureau, the consumer protection agency for the public and for anyone who provides funding to institutions of higher education, whether that be the federal government, the state government, or private sector people. If you don't go to an accredited school, your credits won't transfer to another place. Your degree is not worth much of anything. Every institution in the country of any reputation at all is accredited by one of the six regional accrediting groups. And it turns out that our accrediting group, the Higher Learning Commission, has at least five very specific requirements that do not appear to be met by Measure 3. For example, having the necessary legal power to establish and review basic policies. There's a term in the language that would go away that gives the board full authority, and full authority is not granted to these commissioners. And I'd like also, there's a big point in accreditation about independence and autonomy for higher education institutions. And whether you agree with that or not, or see the importance of it or not, I think most people understand the idea of checks and balances. Right now, we have a three-way view of higher education. The board decides what will happen and how it will happen. The legislature decides how much and in what areas, in many cases, those activities will be funded. Then the institutions are coordinated and they all kind of work together, the checks and balances. When you remove the volunteer board and install employed commissioners, it's not exactly clear to me who they'd be paying most attention to, whether it be the governor or the legislature, but they have a personal stake in keeping their jobs and being reappointed. And it's just an entirely, you just don't have the checks and balances anymore.
So really that degree, if it doesn't meet that standard and the Board of Accreditation doesn't recognize these degrees, we're no different than other places people make fun of. I mean, the degree that you hold from an NDSU or a UND or a Minot State University, it's as worthless as the paper that it's written on.
It's worthless. And in fact, those institutions would not be open for very long, because another element of accreditation is that's what the federal government uses to determine whether you deserve, your students deserve federal aid, whether that's a good investment for the federal government or not. So you know how tuition has been going. If students can't get federal aid, we know, you know, they'd have to come up with some $30,000-$40,000 by the time they graduate. In addition to whatever they got from the federal government in the form of Pell Grants and loans and things. So they just wouldn't go here. They'd go somewhere else. Faculty members would not apply to work here. I don't anticipate that this would actually happen, because there'd be intervention, but that's the risk that's out there.
There's something you wrote in here that also got my attention. Public schools have volunteer boards. Corporations have boards. Nonprofit organizations have volunteer boards. What is wrong with the university system and colleges having a board like that? And Ellen, not to speak on behalf of all those listeners out there, but I think their answer would be, you know, the board wasn't overseeing higher education in certain mm-hmm. cases. The campuses were. And don't you feel, in some degree, as somebody who was involved in making an institution work and work the right way, that really what happened here, and this is just an overreaction or the result of something that was going wrong on specific campuses?
You know, there is that. I also think there's something deeper that I hope and trust the board is paying attention to. I want to give the board great credit for many, many years of very important leadership for higher education. And so in that sense, I think you're right, Joel. This, you know, let's not overreact to a few incidences. But I left LA City State in 2008, and I had concerns about the board then. And it hasn't gotten better. What I attribute it to is people don't understand that serving on a governing board, it requires, there is such a thing as best practices in governance. And this board has not sufficiently invested in the governance education of the members and in assessing themselves. I do governance assessments for institutions all over the country now through the Association of Governing Boards, have been since 2008. And I always tell them, you're responsible for two organizations if you just have one university. That's the university that you govern and yourself, because no one else can hold you accountable. And I think we've seen in this board the need for them to stop and take considerable time investing in understanding how to govern well and holding themselves accountable for that. It's not unusual to want more accountability from boards. What is unusual is for boards not to hold themselves accountable.
But I go back to, it's like the perfect storm, though, that created this. And again, I want to reiterate, this wasn't of your making. But there was a time when the Board of Higher Education, this is Joel's sense now, the Board of Higher Education actually was afraid of one of its administrators, that Joe Chapman was going to build a $2.5 million house, whether they liked it or not. And if you don't like it, get ready for me to walk out the door. You know, there was no angels at the University of North Dakota when it came to the construction of that home. And the people of North Dakota are very modest people. They don't go for that. And then there was no answer when it came to it. Then you bring a strong out-of-state administrator in who has some very strong governance policies and tries to rein in certain things that he deemed he got ran out of town. And so now you've got a fraction of the legislature that would support a Ham Shavani that says, well, the heck with it. If the board isn't going to support a guy once they hire him, then by God, let's get rid of the board structure. You've got another fraction that says, oh, my God, if the board is just going to let these guys do what they want and let the administrators not, you know, oversee it, then let's get it. So you got two different groups of people for different motives coming together with a measure that you're saying could wreck our accreditation. And it leaves you in a position where it's going to be hard to find allies, Ellen, to expose what you're trying to expose.
Well, one of my points would be there's absolutely no guarantee that things would be any different or any better with this change. There's no cause-effect relationship between what's being proposed and a better way to do things. All of the examples that you've given are true, and they're deeply concerning, and they don't happen in other places that have a structure like ours where the governing board understands what its job is and does it well.
Ellen, thank you so much. At least you shed your opinion on this and had the time to do it. I'm sure this is going to come up many times this year before the ballot measure comes up this fall. Obviously, there's other opinions out there that disagree with you. We'll make sure they get their time as well. I appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you, Joel. Have a good day.
Ellen Chaffee, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go find